Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning all. Thank you, Emil, for being nice to me. Because a couple of years ago, I came in a suit. And it was, I remember, I don't think he's here, Tom was the chair. And he said something to the effect of, a suit does not make a man. So since then I dressed appropriately to English service, but today I relapsed suit again because today's a very special today's a very special day. Today is AGM, right? that's why I'm in the suit. No. Today is Father's Day, so I got a message yesterday, last night. One of you messaged saying, whose genius idea is it to have the AGM on the Father's Day? I'll tell you who. It's the fathers who wants to have a meeting. But oh well, that's what it is. We're gonna celebrate with an AGM. So let's pray before we begin. Father God, on this Father's Day, we thank you for gathering us together to worship you, our Father in heaven. May you speak to us through your word, through the miracles and wonders of the apostles. You have worked your wonders in the past, and we know you are still at work in our lives today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, right. Someone sent this to me. I thought it'd be nice to tell Glory about it. Right, so if you were here in Sunday service 2 weeks ago, you should remember that Pastor Lancelot preached a sermon. Pastor Lancelot, that is my boss, he preached a sermon titled, A Time to Tang Ping. Do you remember it, anyone? Yeah, it will come up soon. So Tang Ping is Mandarin, and it means lying flat. And on that Sunday, as soon as I saw his sermon title, you should see how my jaw dropped on the floor. Because back then, I had already decided today's sermon title is Tang Ping No More. Oops. So the Chinese title, the Cantonese title stayed the same. It stayed the same in Chinese, but in English, I modified it slightly. Rise up. So it's a way of showing my respect to the boss. But let me give you a brief overview of what the whole fuss is about with Tang Ping, or lying flat. It came from a Chinese forum post published on April 17th of 2021. The post title is Tang Ping is Justice. The author said he had not worked in 2 years. He was just having fun, and he said he was feeling entirely fine about it. He further said that the perfect philosophy of life is to lower one's wants and desires to the bare minimum so as to make stress non-existent in life. And he concludes his post saying that Tang Ping is the ultimate wisdom of humankind. And that word went viral overnight. To the many young people in China who were facing immense economic pressure, a jobless market, and inflation. This lying flat philosophy strikes a note. And add COVID to the mix. That's how lying flat became the top meme in China last year. And we look at our passage today. In the book of Acts chapter 9, we also find two people who are lying flat. But they are not checking out of life in their lying flat. Instead, they are literally lying flat. It's not of their choice. The first person is Aeneas, a man who was paralyzed. The second is Tabitha, a disciple who became sick and died. Both of them had been forced to lie flat. And on the other hand, our main character today was Peter the Apostle. Peter wasn't merely one of Jesus' followers or one of his disciples. He was the most prominent disciple of the 12. When Peter was called by Jesus, he left his boat, he left his job, he left everything and followed Jesus around. He spent the next 3 years with Jesus, traveling and living with him. He witnessed in the next 3 years how Jesus worked his miracles and signs. Peter heard every one of Jesus' sermons. And of course, we know from Scripture that Peter had his ups and downs. At one point, he even disowned Jesus 3 times when Jesus was arrested. But Jesus, after he resurrected, Jesus personally reconciled with Peter. And when he had ascended to heaven, Peter became the leader of the church. Together with the disciples, they built the church right from the beginning. And as we continue in chapter 9 today in the book of Acts, as the leader of the early church, Peter had to travel all over the country. The Bible tells us that this time Peter went to a place called Lydda, where he met the paralyzed Aeneas, who had been lying flat for 8 years. Now, Peter had many times seen Jesus heal the lame and the paralyzed. Peter himself also healed a lame man earlier in the book of Acts. So by faith, he said to Aeneas, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." So let's break down what Peter says to Aeneas. He says, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." I'm going to go through it in 4 parts. First, Peter calls Aeneas by name. A person's name is not merely how he or she is addressed. Within a name is a person's unique identity and dignity. That's why in a traditional prison, an inmate loses his name, and instead he is given a number. The prison guards call them by their assigned number, because the prison system not only takes away a person's freedom, but also a person's pride and dignity. I'm reminded of the musical Les Miserables when Jean Valjean, the name was taken away from him, and he was 24601. But in the Bible, we learn that every person is made in the image and likeness of God. Every human being possesses inherent dignity and value. Furthermore, God knows each one of us by name, and he calls us by name. I'm sure we all have this experience. You run into someone outside, you recognize the face, but you just can't remember the name. It can be an embarrassing situation. And this happens to me quite a bit. I usually ask Glory for help, and I hope you don't mind when I ask you to remind me. But what I'm saying is, when you call someone by name, it means that you have a relationship with that person. Every impression, every conversation you had adds to the depth behind the name that signifies the relationship you have with that person. And that's why God says to the Israelites, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." God, who created everything, he has a personal relationship with each one of us. And that's what it means for God to know us by name and how he calls us by name. The second thing that Peter said to Aeneas is this: Jesus Christ heals you. Peter knows for a fact that he wasn't the one who healed Aeneas. It is always Jesus Christ who heals. In the past 2 years and more, every country, every person is deeply impacted by COVID. Some lost their health, some lost their loved ones, some even lost their very lives. No matter how advanced our medicine had become, how quickly our governments responded, in the pandemic, from the richest to the poorest countries, we all had to face the same virus, and the world over was continually ravaged by the unending cycle of mutations. And we all know how deeply, how personal life is fragile, and how powerless we are. In the face of circumstances that are out of our control, it often seems like lying flat is the best choice. To hide oneself, to give in, to surrender to fate. We know that there is much pain and suffering in this world, but they are not of God's intention. They are not part of creation, because God is not the author of evil. When God created humankind, he also gave us the freedom to choose how to live. Unfortunately, apart from God, we often choose what we think is right. And the Bible said, "What may be known about God is plain and can be clearly seen." But we just thought ourselves so wise that we chose otherwise. This is what sin is about. And the root cause of all pain, suffering, and injustice in the world are all sin. However, God did not give up on the world, and he did not give up on us. And like what we just read in Isaiah, God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." God has redeemed us through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul captures the gospel, the good news, in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, buried, raised by God on the third day. And Paul continues, "Jesus appeared to Cephas," which is Peter. "He appeared to the 12, and then to more than 500 people at once." Peter had seen the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes. And he and the early church continued to preach the good news, to spread it. And for over 2,000 years, up till this moment, the good news is what brought us here today. Third, Peter says to Aeneas, "Get up." This is to ask Aeneas to respond by faith. It is true that God has redeemed the world in Jesus Christ. And those who hear of the gospel are then invited to respond by faith. That is to rise up. The one key to having a relationship with God is often repeated in the Bible, and it is by faith. Faith is something that is hard to pin down. Some people might say you can believe what you want to believe. They say faith is merely make-believe to help a person feel good about himself. They say you can have your faith and I will have my way of living. However, when a person is willing to be honest to himself or herself, when he or she asks his or her heart about faith, if they're not willing to face it, it's a way of procrastination. And when a person, after careful consideration, they can decide to live by faith, or they can decide to reject it. But one cannot live in a state of I don't care, because unfortunately, it is a kind of lying flat. It's procrastination. The book of Hebrews defines faith as a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Aeneas' body could very well have been healed by God, but if he didn't believe in his heart by faith, he could simply ignore Peter and think that Peter was just being silly and continue his way of life of lying flat. But in Scripture, we read that Aeneas chose by faith to rise up. That is his response to Jesus. Inwardly, he believes in his heart that Jesus Christ healed him, and his outward response is to rise up. God's power is then in display through Aeneas' faith. And it is the same for every one of us. Although we might not see situation or things turn around immediately, but we must have confidence and hope in Jesus Christ. We are assured of things that cannot be seen, but Jesus is at work. And that's why by faith, we need to rise up. This is what Christian faith is about. And the last thing Peter told Aeneas is to roll up your mat. Aeneas is healed. He gets up. He does not lie flat anymore. But he does not simply walk away. The thing he must do is to pack up that mat that he had been lying for 8 years. Imagine 8 years. That thing he had to roll up and pack it up. When God rescues people from sin, he does not extract us from our situation. He instead makes everything new. When Jesus comes into our lives, we are released from the bondage of sin. We are free. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to leave the previous state of lying flat. We are empowered to live our lives with joy and with hope. And Jesus will do his work all around us and through us. That's why when we come to a place of faith, when we choose to rise up, God will ask us to go roll up our mats. That is the baggage, the thing that pulls us down, that prevents us from living by faith. It could be a past hurt that we experienced. It could be a bad habit or even an addiction. It could be a personal, emotional, or personality issue that sets us back time and again. We won't be perfect. We won't become saints in this life. But I can assure you, when we allow Jesus Christ to work in your lives, when we allow him to work in the darker corners, then we are putting ourselves in a position to see change happen. In fact, we will partner with God to bring about change in our lives and around us, to bring about change that needs to happen. So the Bible tells us immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when we rise up, when we roll up our mat, God will use our lives to bring impact to other people. It could be your family. It could be your friends, your peers, your co-workers. When they see the change that is happening before their very eyes, they will be eager to find out. They should be curious to know what, or for the matter, who is behind it. This is our witness to God. So Aeneas is the first person who is lying flat in our passage today. The second person is Tabitha. Tabitha is a good Christian. We are told that she was always doing good and helping the poor. But sadly, she got sick and died. Peter happened to be in the area and was brought to her. And as soon as he got there, he got down on his knees and prayed. Then he said, "Tabitha, get up." And Tabitha rose again. The book of Acts recorded this miracle because it is just that. It is an extraordinary event. Christians still die, and we don't normally come back to life. But we are assured that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. When Jesus was comparing himself to a shepherd, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." We Christians believe in eternal life. Not that Christians won't die a physical death. Even the 12 apostles, even Peter, had died. But we Christians believe that when Jesus Christ comes, all who believe in him and had died will receive a resurrection body and eternal life. And let me conclude with a testimony that has deeply impacted my life. Is the PowerPoint? Is it still working? It's showing here, but okay. Yeah, this is important, so. We'll give them 10 seconds. No, not working? Okay. So I'll just show you from my laptop. All right? It's important. So this person, you can see, is my grandma. Grandma. And I call her Mama. This is the person I want to talk about. Because if you ask me which person is the absolute opposite of lying flat, I will tell you it's my mama. She's the kind of person that if she's meeting you for breakfast at 9, she would go to the restaurant at 8. And at 8:30, you will get a call on your phone asking you if you're going to the breakfast. And I'm like, 8:30. Come on. Still half an hour away. So she married young at the age of 18. And very soon she moved to Hong Kong with her 3-year-old son and 2 suitcases. She was always good with her finances, made sound investments. I was told that she's a wizard with stock investments. She was always generous, helpful to her neighbors, just like Tabitha in our story today. A lifelong Christian, and all 4 generations, you can't see it, but all 4 generations, we're all Christians of the extended family. I know she prayed daily for her children and her grandchildren. She prayed for our schooling, for our careers, and I for sure know one thing she prayed earnestly, is that we all find a spouse. And she always refuses to take a cab. She goes to church, fellowship gatherings, always taking the subway. However, her health had deteriorated in recent years. And for a few years, she had to be pushed in a wheelchair just to go out by a helper. And in March of this year, one day she told our helper that it's time for her to go. She knew it was her time. And 2 days later, Jesus took her to heaven. She lived to a full age of 95. I grieve that I cannot go back and say goodbye to her because of COVID. But I have faith that my grandma has eternal life. I know that I will see her again. She has risen up right at this moment. And this is the pamphlet in my grandpa's funeral, and my grandma wrote a word in it. She wrote, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Thank you for letting us build a blessed family. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations." That's from Psalm 90. And this is what the gospel is about. Our Father in heaven, He loves us, He knows us by name, He calls us by name, He rescues us and redeems us in Jesus Christ. He heals our sin and our past. He tells us that we can rise up by faith so that we can join Him as He works to renew the world around us. And we rest assured that He has prepared for us a dwelling place in eternal life. Amen.